Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Authorities in Australia say at least six people are dead, including a suspect, following a stabbing attack at a busy shopping center. Assistant Commissioner Tony Cook says officers shot the attacker.
As she continued to walk quickly behind him to catch up with him, he turned, faced her, raised a knife. She discharged a firearm, and that person is now deceased.
Police believe the attacker acted alone. Growing concerns about Iran escalating tensions in the Middle East by conducting a retaliatory strike on Israel, as it blames Israel for a strike on the Iranian consulate in Syria that killed 13 people. The former translator for baseball star Shohei Ohtani is out on bond after making his first appearance in court on Friday. Ippei Mitsuhara is accused of stealing millions from Ohtani to pay off gambling debts. Hannah Gutierrez, the armorer on the set of the movie Rust, set to be sentenced Monday after convicted of involuntary manslaughter. This is ABC News. Heightened security concerns ahead of Monday's running of the Boston Marathon comes 11 years after the deadly terror attack at the finish line.
Tens of thousands of people are Boston-bound for Monday's 128th running of the marathon. Massachusetts State Police Colonel Jack Mon says security will build on last year's operation.
The plan to protect the event is rigorous and dynamic. There are multiple and redundant layers of security, some of which are visible and obvious, and many others that will not be noticed by the public.
Mon says there are no specific threats. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Three men rescued from a remote Pacific island after spelling out the word help with palm fronds. The three were rescued after their plea was spotted by Navy and Coast Guard aviators from the air. They spent more than a week on the island, which is about 1,800 miles east of the Philippines. Authorities say they were fishing when their boat hit a coral reef, punching a hole in it and stranding them on the island. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I always wanted to be taller. All I wanted to do all day was play basketball. And I remember this guy from the team came in, and he's having a bad day. And he looks at, we're just playing a pickup game, and he goes, hey, guys, can I get a dunk? Somebody throws him the ball. He runs and powers it down, and I'm like, how cool after a bad day to be able to throw a dunk down. Like, you don't get the same satisfaction with launching an angry two-handed set shot, you know?
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin is having a green energy construction boom. As Mike Moan reports, that's good news for Wisconsin's unionized construction workers.
Four major utilities operating in Wisconsin recently announced a pledge to hire union workers for clean energy development tied to federal incentives under the Inflation Reduction Act. Kent Miller of the Wisconsin Laborers District Council says it paves the way for a smoother transition to more wind, solar, and similar projects.
With the commitment from the utilities to make sure that the wages and benefits are the same standard as legacy energy, it allows workers to focus on updating their skill sets to meet the needs of the project and not worry about are there concessions in wages and benefits.
In earlier phases of renewable energy construction, Miller says some project leaders focused on bringing in out-of-state non-union contractors. Now that Wisconsin labor organizations have a seat at the table, Miller says the next challenge is getting more advance notice before a project breaks ground so they can ramp up recruiting well ahead of time. For example, Miller says a utility-scale solar development requires a lot of labor, and they want as many people as possible to know about potential openings. He says that includes apprenticeships.
Somebody could start their apprenticeship career, complete their apprenticeship, and become a journey worker through the duration of a utility-scale solar project.
He points to the Paris Solar Farm project in Kenosha County, which at its peak had nearly 150 laborers. Of the apprentices, 70% were women or people of color. Analysts say the hiring pledge and associated projects could lead to nearly 19,000 construction jobs that come with prevailing wages. This is Mike Bowen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Coming up Monday on Nat Nair On Air, three headlines and a lie, and it's tax day. I hope you'll join us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low in the mid-30s. Mostly sunny, breezy, and warmer for tomorrow, high in the mid-70s. And more sunshine for Sunday, high, low 70s. On Monday, sun continues and breezy again, back to the mid-70s. Showers and storms likely Tuesday. Currently 35
Connecting
degrees.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board and answering your phone calls as well. It is Friday, TGIF, April 12th, 2024, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Sunny skies. Looks like a beautiful weekend on tap. Hopefully you can get out and enjoy the weather. Any big plans, Mr. Zommers, this weekend?
Yes, I'm going to attend my first Dane County Farmers Market downtown here.
See, that's what we want to hear. That's good news for modern man and woman, as my former eighth grade teacher used to say. That's fantastic. It's one of my favorite parts. You always know that spring is on its way when the Dane County Farmers Market kicks off, as several farmers markets across Wisconsin are. So good for you.
Yeah,
that'll be fun.
I was already planning on it when we talked about it, that it was opening this weekend. And then one of my friends who lives in Milwaukee said, hey, my boyfriend and I are visiting Madison and we're thinking about stopping at the farmer's market. And I was like, perfect.
There you
Gives
go.
Gives me another way to not.
It took somebody from outside of town to get you to go to the farmer's market.
I was already going to go. This just means I can't make excuses.
All right. Very good. Well, enjoy that. Hopefully all of you enjoy a nice weekend across Wisconsin, wherever you are at. Big show today coming up at 1:30 in hour number two. We appreciate him stopping by every other Friday. We're talking about Peter Rapine, the managing editor of EPOM's World, with a week in review, a look at actual humans doing goofy things. These are not made up, not fiction, real humans doing wacky things. He'll be in at 1:30 to talk about that. Also, a programming note for you. Coming up on Monday, we have confirmed now our old friend Matt Flynn is going to be back on the show on Monday, and he is going to tell us exclusively his intentions on what he plans to do in terms of the open seat for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
I look forward to hearing
apparently
what he has to say.
Apparently, he's mulling it over, and he will be on this program exclusively in hour number one on Monday to talk about his intentions for the Wisconsin Supreme Court vacancy that's going to – it's an open seat now because current Justice Ann Walsh Bradley saying she will not seek re-election next year in 2025. Matt Flynn will be here exclusively on Monday to talk about that. Right now, though, the big story making headlines this morning, literally – in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, great reporter Kelly Meyerhofer headline, the future of some UW campuses are at risk without major changes, new financial report shows. Reading from Kelly's story this morning, newly released reports raise questions about the financial viability of Wisconsin's public universities and signal additional cuts coming to some campuses in future years. Joining us via StreamYard now, we appreciate her taking the time to join us, the author, the reporter, the higher ed reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Kelly Meyerhofer. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for the invitation, Todd.
As long as our pleasure, and I appreciate what you do and you folks at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel so much by dedicating someone like yourself who really knows this higher education issue. You've been on this whole thing as long as we've been on the, our show has been on now, coming up on 2 years now. You've been following these closures of the two-year campuses when it first happened at UW-Richland, right up through what's happening now. Tell us a little bit about this story that you're reporting on today. It's there's some irony here. Explain what's going on in your reporting today, if you would, please.
Yeah, these reports started, the impetus for the reports started last year when the UW System President Jay Rothman said that 10 of the 13 universities are facing financial deficits, and he wanted to get a better handle on what these campuses are facing. So they hired this outside firm, Deloitte, a sort of consulting group to look at each campus individually, paid $2.8 million to Deloitte to get these reports that were released yesterday for 7 of the campuses. There's some more reports coming.
And this is the irony, and you're a great reporter. We this show is opinion and news, so I do have an opinion on this. This is my view, not Kelly's. But the irony to me here is that we took, not we, but UW System took $2.8 million, nearly $3 million of taxpayer money to hire a consulting firm to tell them they had a financial problem. Now, look, I'm not the brightest bulb on the string here, Kelly, but I mean, just as a layperson following this, it's pretty clear that UW System has had a financial problem. In all seriousness, did it really take it? In your reporting, did System feel that they really needed this? Because remember, I know you know this, but for our listeners, there is the Legislative Audit Bureau, which is part of state government, and it would have seemed that a state legislator could have requested an audit from the Legislative Audit Bureau and done the same thing, or am I just on the wrong track?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think from the perspective of UW System and chancellors, the reports either for the chancellors sort of helped confirm for them that what their, internal financial offices are, reporting, crunching the numbers, that an outside group is finding the same sort of thing. I think it also helps UW System, as the next budget starts next year, to provide sort of external confirmation to the legislature that this is the state that our campuses are in.
So again, reading from Kelly's story here, saying that none of the reports raise the possibility of consolidation or closure. UW System President Jay Rothman said he is not entertaining the idea of closing any four-year campuses. And that stopped the quote there on Kelly's story. I'll just simply interject here that we heard similar things, before they started closing 2 years. Oh, well, we're not really looking at, closing anything. And so that's fine if President Rothman wants to say that. But you report, Kelly, in your story that the nonpartisan Wisconsin Fiscal Forum found Wisconsin's four-year university system ranked 43rd in the country in per pupil funding. President Rothman said it would take an additional $440 million annually to move to the median level of funding nationally. Unquote. Stop there on your reporting. Certainly, I would argue that Republicans have underfunded the university. That's, I guess, open to people's opinion like mine. What isn't disputable are the facts that the state of Wisconsin, Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong, we're still sitting on approximately a $4 billion surplus cash on hand in the state coffers.
Yeah, talk to people on campuses, they will bring up that budget surplus often, and especially when they look at the results of this past state budget when essentially UW System got no funding increase for its operating budget. It actually was cut for like 6 months, and then as part of this broader deal involving DEI, they did get that money restored. But so their funding has remained flat despite that surplus.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit after we talk to you. But I want to get back to, we're talking to Kelly Meyerhofer, higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Her great story today reporting on this company, Deloitte, paying $2.8 million for this consultant to review the finances. And here, Kelly, in your reporting, here are the things that really stood out to me. First of all, at UW Oshkosh, And I know you did some reporting earlier. There's been a no confidence vote on the chancellor there, first of all, correct?
Correct.
And that's not setting the table real well. I mean, it was like almost 2/3, right, of the people who voted in that, maybe just under that, but certainly over half of the people who voted in that vote gave the chancellor there a vote of no confidence. So this report says, according to your reporting, Deloitte painted a dire picture for UW Oshkosh, saying, quote, without significant and immediate change, the future of the institution is at risk. The report called UW Oshkosh's leaders, quote, responsive and decisive, unquote, when facing a $15 million deficit at the beginning of the school year. I mean, this is beyond, apparently, according to this report, this is beyond like, geez, we need to make a couple of cuts. They're talking about, you know, significant risk of the institution's future.
Yeah, I mean, the report did go on to say that because UW Oshkosh leaders, you know, laid off hundreds of employees, their deficit has been significantly reduced and has, quote, substantially changed the trajectory of its financial situation. So, I mean, changes have been made. Again, these reports, you know, are sort of a snapshot in time at some point during the school year. And the universities are always evolving and making decisions and taking actions that may not be reflected in these reports.
In your reporting, it appears that according to your reporting, it was reporting on this report from Deloitte on the UW system, at least part of the 4 years. The other campus that stood out was my alma mater. According to your reporting today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, quote, UW Platteville's report included the same ominous line as UW Oshkosh, quote, without significant and immediate change, the future of the institution is at risk, unquote. The university, here's the line that stood out for me. The university has less than a year of reserves left and needs to, quote, immediately right size, unquote, Deloitte said. The report asked what size UW Platteville should be in the future. I mean, it almost sounds like to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Platteville's situation may be the worst of all of them.
I mean, in terms of their reserves, they had the worst situation of the reports. Yeah.
So here's the thing, and I know you've reported on this as well. I'm just curious if in your world, people that you talk to, it came out of the Board of Regents met, what was it, last week before, and approved in line with these 4% increases that people got under the last budget, staff at the last budget here, all these chancellors, including the chancellor Oshkosh, including Tammy Ivanovich at Platteville, I mean, they're getting 4% raises, going from $265,000 a year at Platteville to $281,112. Now, I mean, look, I understand these people are people with graduate degrees managing multi-million-dollar institutions here. I don't take that away from them. But I mean, if you can't live on $271,000 in Platteville, I lived there for a time. You know, it seems to me when you're raising tuition and when you're making severe cuts and saying that your institution is at imminent risk of not being there, it's not a good look to be increasing your salary up to $281,000. It would occur to me, are people that you're talking to a little salty about that?
Well, we just got the reports, you know, yesterday morning. So, you know, I'm still kind of talking to people about what their thoughts are on them. You know, I think it's interesting the timing, you know, that these reports are coming the week after the Board of Regents meeting when they did, you know, approve those chancellor salary increases. I think anytime I write, you know, about the chancellors getting boosts to their salaries that are the same percentage as you know, the regular employees, you know, I always hear some grumbling about whether they're, you know, underpaid or overpaid. You know, that's sort of a recurring theme.
We'll talk more with the Kelly Meyerhofer, higher education reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, 1 minute from now. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on a Friday on Civic Media.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything off.
What are you talking about? That was December bad. basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
not. You would just start freaking out. Yeah.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show on a Friday, April 12th, 2024. Now 20 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Appreciate you joining us on a beautiful sunshiny day high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. We are talking this segment with Kelly Meyerhofer, the higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you don't have a subscription, what the heck's wrong with you? Get one today. Do great. This is why we need great local journalists like Kelly Meyerhofer and others at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She does a great job following higher ed. She has a great story today on this firm, Deloitte, which was hired by UW System, now known as the, what is it, University Colleges or Wisconsin Universities, whatever they changed the name, but it's the UW System, $2.8 million to do a review and found out that, hey, our universities aren't doing so hot financially. And again, Kelly, the two that stood out in your reporting to me, UW Oshkosh and my alma mater of UW Platteville, saying that, quote, without significant and immediate change, the future of the institution is at risk. Now, look, I've been pretty hard on President Rothman, and part of that is what frustrates me, and you're a true reporter. I'm a talk show host. I went to, you know, communication journalism school at Platteville, but, you know, I make it clear this is a talk show. This is a talk show. I have an opinion. You're a journalist who does great, unbiased reporting here. In your reporting on this whole issue, now we're up to 5 2-years that have been closed or in the process thereof, and now we're looking at these 4 years. Here's what frustrates me, and you tell me, Todd, you're all wet or there's something to this. What I don't understand is we've asked the question to Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Tony Kurtz from Southwest Wisconsin, who's on the Joint Finance Committee. We just simply say, what's going on? Why isn't there more transparency? Why don't we have President Rothman out talking to people? Why don't more legislators go and talk openly? Is it too conspiratorial to think there's some kind of unholy alliance between Democrats and Republicans that they're looking at this simply as dollars and they're like, well, it's just inevitable? Is that too far?
You know, I think when we look at sort of like the future of the UW system, there's a real disconnect, I think, between, you know, Democrats and, you know, a lot of the people on campuses that I talk to who think, you know, if we were to fund universities more, we wouldn't be in the state that we're in. And, you know, Republicans who look at the declining enrollment, they look at, you know, enrollment projections for the future, and they say, you know, the writing is on the wall. We need to right size, which is, you know, a term used by the consultant in the reports that we have. You know, some of them have said openly that we have too many campuses. Some of them have said we have way too many employees for the amount of students that we enroll now. And, you know, this is just good business sense to make our campuses smaller.
I think that's what frustrates me as an alum of the UW system. I don't mean we talked to over a year ago. had Kathy Sandeen, the last chancellor of the 2 years and extension, on this program. She said one of her last acts before she was basically dismissed was to do a report that recognized technology's changing, some enrollments may be changing, but here's how we can adapt to higher ed today and still keep institutions open and also relevant. And it doesn't seem like there's anybody in either the legislature or the UW system who's looking at that forward adaptation. It seems, to your point, they're simply saying, well, we got to make this, it's all about dollars, it's all about money, and we're just going to cut until we get where we want to be.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about the branch campuses, I think the general consensus among, you know, Republicans and even the community leaders in those campuses, in those communities that are losing those branch campuses, is that, you know, there's just not enough students to support them. So they should close. And it's not a loss of access because there's a tech college campus nearby for a lot of these communities. Richland Center is sort of different. But, you know, for Waukesha, for West Bend, for Marinette, there's tech college campuses nearby.
Have you asked anyone in your reporting, because I have, and I literally can't get an answer anywhere from the governor's office to Howard Markline, to anybody at system. At Richland Center, the private campus foundation had $4 million cash on hand. They offered a check of $600,000 to Platteville to hire a full-time recruiter. And Platteville and system said no, they would not give that foundation a reason for that or me. Well, and to your point, if enrollment is falling and you have a private foundation wanting to hire somebody, why don't they let that happen?
Yeah, I've asked, you know, UW-Platteville that, I think, when I did some reporting, but when Richland was still open. And I think their answer, this was several years ago, so I'm right. Not 100% sure what I'm, you know, what they said.
Paraphrasing,
it was something like, you know, we have our recruiting model and that wouldn't work. And that's why we didn't take the money, was their answer.
And look, you're the reporter. We appreciate it. But I know people that went to high school career fairs, went up to the UW-Platteville booth, and literally they had the two branch campus pamphlets of Richland and Baraboo under the table in a box. They weren't even out there. So if that's their model for recruitment, it's not any surprise to somebody like me why enrollment's falling at branch campuses. They talk about enrollment being bad. They just announced the closure of Waukesha, which, as you know in your reporting, has the second highest recruitment or enrollment of the 2 years. That doesn't sound good for the rest of the 2 years to me, Kelly.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, all of these closure announcements are, you know, devastating. But to me, I mean, when the Waukesha announcement was made, it was very surprising. Because, you know, as I reported, it was the second largest, it had been the largest, you know, it's a fairly big campus. I think they're at like 600 students or something like that.
Yep.
So yeah, it was very surprising that announcement was made when there's several other branch campuses with a third of the enrollment that say that they're going to continue on.
And just a couple of minutes left here, talking to Kelly Meyerhofer, higher ed reporter at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. In your reporting, Kelly, your ongoing, again, congratulations and thank you for all your work. But what's your gut telling you as you talk to all different people here? Where are we headed with public higher education in the state of Wisconsin? More closures? Is this just a money thing? You know, who's working for the student?
That's an interesting question. That's the exact question that my editors had and have like assigned me to write about, which I've started the reporting on, and I'll have that in the next, I don't know, month or two. It's sort of just like this big picture question of like, what is the future for higher education here? What will the footprint be? What does the data and production show? So yeah, we should talk in a couple months.
Well, you're welcome here anytime. We always appreciate you. And we'll be remiss. We talked about this yesterday, but coming up next Tuesday, or the following Tuesday, April 23rd, 6 p.m. in Muscatine in Southwest Wisconsin, Senator Kelda Royce and also Representative Katrina Shankland are holding a public forum on, universities of Wisconsin in Muscatine. And I give them a lot of credit. There's at least two elected officials who are going out there and meeting folks. We're going to be there and, encourage everyone else, the public, to you as well. Kelly, anything you'd like to add? About 30, 40 seconds left. Any final things we didn't talk about?
Boy, what are you saying? 30 seconds.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm putting you on the spot.
It's been a very difficult school year for campuses. You know, hundreds of employees have lost their jobs, been put on furloughs, campuses closing. You know, I don't think the future is going to like dramatically improve in the next couple of years. So, yeah, I don't know.
It's tough times. It's tough times for higher ed. We still appreciate you being on the story. Kelly Meyerhofer, you can find her great work at the MilwaukeeJournalSentinel.com and also buy an actual paper like Todd does. Thank you very much, Kelly. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Our pleasure. Come back with your phone calls on the other side, 855-752-4842 on UW System after this.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Authorities in Australia say at least six people are dead, including a suspect, following a stabbing attack at a busy shopping center. Assistant Commissioner Tony Cook says officers shot the attacker.
As she continued to walk quickly behind him to catch up with him, he turned, faced her, raised a knife. She discharged a firearm, and that person is now deceased.
Police believe the attacker acted alone. Growing concerns about Iran escalating tensions in the Middle East by conducting a retaliatory strike on Israel, as it blames Israel for a strike on the Iranian consulate in Syria that killed 13 people. The former translator for baseball star Shohei Ohtani is out on bond after making his first appearance in court on Friday. Ippei Mitsuhara is accused of stealing millions from Ohtani to pay off gambling debts. Hannah Gutierrez, the armorer on the set of the movie Rust, set to be sentenced Monday after convicted of involuntary manslaughter. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers clobber Baltimore. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers jumped out to an early lead. Top of the second, Gary Sanchez went yard at Camden Yards.
Here's Gary Sanchez looking for his first hit of the season. Sanchez drills one deep left field. That is trouble. It is gone. A two-run homer for Gary Sanchez, and the Brewers are up 2-0.
Valley Sports Wisconsin, the final of the Brewers 11-1 over the Orioles. Home runs for the Brewers Sanchez, Willie Adames, and William Contreras. Christian Yelich left the game early with a sore back. The series continues in Baltimore. NBA, the Bucks' Damian Lillard sat out last night's game against the Thunder. Milwaukee ended up losing 125-107. NFL, the Packers' tailgate tour continues in Madison. And Oshkosh, with a new 4-3 defense, I asked Kenny Clark, do you think you'll be playing more inside?
Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna be inside for sure. If it's three tech or nose, I don't know yet. I could play anywhere, though.
That's Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Sunny, warm, and breezy today. A high in the mid-70s. Mostly clear tonight. Low mid-40s. And more sunshine for Sunday. High, low 70s. On Monday, sun continues and breezy again, back to the mid-70s. Showers and storms likely Tuesday. Right now, it's 36.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there in a polite way? Ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station. Station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingas.
Winged Thingas! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingas.
The Winged Thingas.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. It is Friday, April 12th, 2024. Mr. Zommer is on the board taking your phone calls. And thanks very much to Kelly Meyerhofer, the great higher ed reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who was so gracious to join us on late notice. We appreciate her being here. Check out her story in the Milwaukee Journal today, either online or via a paper copy. Great reporting on the fact that UW System spent $2.8 million of taxpayer money to pay a consulting firm, Deloitte, to check on its financial health. And again, the question begs to me, why wasn't this done through the Legislative Audit Bureau? Any legislator can request that. And of course, the longtime Senate co-chair of the Legislative Audit Bureau, Rob Coles, who always did a great job, was taken off that committee by Senate President Devin Lemahieu because Senator Coles would not politicize it. Shows you the importance of having straight shooters in the legislature. So anyway, they hired the Board of Regents and System hired this outside firm for $2.8 million to tell them that their campuses were in financial trouble. Off the text line, Robert in Richland Center says, Ms. Meyerhofer's article states an independent organization rates Wisconsin as 43rd in the country for per pupil funding. Goes right back to the legislature, unquote. Robert is correct. According to Kelly Meyerhofer's reporting, President Rothman said it would take an additional $440 million annually to move the median level of funding nationally. I don't dispute the fact that there is a funding problem, that Republicans for now well over a decade have shortchanged UW System in terms of monies needed. That's a fact. But it's not just a money problem. There are some management issues as well. And wouldn't you think at a time when the organization you're leading is struggling financially, wouldn't you think that it's leadership responsibility to do their part? It takes me back to my former boss, State Senator Dale Schultz, when he was in the legislature. May have been when I think it was when he was majority leader. And I can't remember the exact issue. It was an issue that happened in his district in southwest Wisconsin, Tommy Thompson's old assembly district. And there was something that got messed up. It may have been funding for a sewer project. I can't, through Department of Commerce. I can't remember. But he walked over to, well, it was before he was majority leader because Tommy Thompson was in the governor's office at the time. And Dale walked over to the governor's office and sat down with the great chief of staff, Bob Wood. And he sat there, looked Woody in the eye, and he said, and I'll clean it up for radio. He said, what we have here is a big crap sandwich. And you know what? We're all going to take a bite. Unquote. And Bob Wood told that story years later, and he said, and you know what? We did. When you're in a crappy situation, everybody has to take a bite to get through it. Dale was absolutely right. So it befuddles me when looking at the increase that Jay Rothman gave himself in his salary. Jay Rothman right now, the president of the system, is being paid over $500,000 a year. $550 million. And he's doing such a swell job that he just voted himself an increase. It's going to go from $550 million a year for Jay Rothman up to $583,440. So right now he's making $550,000, and he voted himself an increase, or the Regents did, of $583,440. Get it right yet. I'm a little incensed right now. How can you give yourself a $25,000 increase when the organization you lead is bleeding money? I don't get it. And then we're going to go to the calls. Just hang on a second. We got Jack and Tom hanging on. Your calls are welcome as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It takes me back to 2004 when there was a vacancy for the UW system president. And it came down to two choices: Kevin Riley, an academic within system, and Steve Gunderson, former Republican from Western Wisconsin, a congressman. He had been the ranking member on the subcommittee for higher education in the United States Congress. He helped pass the Americans with Disability Act. He was an advocate for Pell Grants for non-traditional students. He is a graduate of UW-Madison, a proud Badger. He was a former member of the legislature in the state assembly. And the argument at the time was Steve Gunderson wasn't qualified to be the president of the UW system because he hadn't been had enough academic things published. He wasn't academic enough. Now fast forward to the last deal. The final two candidates were the chancellor of Eau Claire, Jim Schmidt, who we had on the show last week, who is fantastic, or Jay Rothman, the head of one of the largest law firms in America, in Milwaukee. No education experience at all. And you know why they put Jay Rothman in over Jim Schmidt? Two things. The other chancellors were jealous of Jim Schmidt and complained about him. And number two, apparently, Governor Evers and the majority of the Board of Regents wanted a number cruncher. They wanted a guy who owned a number two Ticonderoga pencil and had a good calculator. Because it appears that the Wisconsin idea is all but dead on the 17th floor of Van Nuys. And all they want to do is pencil push and do numbers. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for holding. What say you?
You know my background, I think. I'm a retired educator, and I have taught at all levels, literally all levels, from sixth grade up to second year or so of university, in public, private, and parochial school. And I understand why you are incensed about this situation. I am very incensed too. And if I kind of lose my track here, please bear with me a little bit. I have a number of things I really want to say about this. First thing is this: enrollment is dropping. Not a big surprise. The cost of education just for tuition for one of the UW schools, not UW-Madison, but one of the four-year campuses, is running around $40,000 to $50,000 for 4 years. That doesn't count anything else. It is it doesn't include books, doesn't include living expenses. It's so. What happens, I think, is a lot of prospective university students, they graduate from high school, they're quite capable of university work. They look at some of their somewhat older friends who have already graduated from a university. They see them with student debt that will not be cleared up in their lifetime, perhaps.
Yeah.
And that's one reason why enrollments are lowering. Now, I can't say that I've done a statistical analysis that I know that's the case, but I would be very surprised if that weren't part of the situation. second thing that gets me really, really riled up is we have a $2-plus billion surplus in the state of Wisconsin. And, yes, I am going to blame the Republicans 100% for this because they've gerrymandered themselves almost into a two-thirds majority in our legislature, and they only want to give, well, let's see, the last thing that Evers vetoed, the last budget on the giveaway, returning some of this money to the so-called taxpayers, they wanted to give about two-thirds of it away to the very richest people. They're still trying to figure out a way to give $2 billion away to their donors in this city.
Freudian slip,
and
yeah.
That just outrages me. That just outrages me because we could be spending this on things that would benefit the state of Wisconsin, like supporting our university system. This is one of the best university systems in the country. And in order, if you don't support it, you know, it's already been going downhill. You know that because some of the campuses that attracted people in smaller rural areas are already closed.
Yep.
We've got to do something about this. And one of the things we've got to do is vote in November and vote these, usable
appreciate
word.
Appreciate it.
We've got to vote some of these so-called legislators who do nothing to help the state out of office.
Really appreciate it, Jack. Thank you so much. Jack and Merrimack, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Tom, listening on the app in Florida. Tom, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, all this talk about money and finances is a distraction. The Republicans in Wisconsin and other states are waging a war against public education from pre-K through PhD. And that's what this is about. They literally think of educators in grade school through high school as grooming kids to become Democrats. And college is where that grooming is refined and hardened, and they even are training them to be Democrat candidates. And that's why Republicans fear public education at all levels. All this talk about money is nothing but a distraction.
I appreciate the call. Tom in Florida, I couldn't agree more on that point. I was listening. I went down to Monroe last night, beautiful Monroe in Greene County, got my taxes done. That's a whole other story. Faith, by the way, Faith at HR Block, Faith Block, no relation, does my taxes. And she's great. The fact that I had to pay this year, not great. But Tom in Florida is absolutely right. I was listening on my way down to Monroe last night. I decided to tune into the competition, listen to Vicki McKenna on conservative talk radio here in Madison. And Tom's right. What she was bemoaning was the fact that college universities have the audacity to go through dorms and ask kids if they're registered or not, and then tell them, get this, where they can vote. And she was bemoaning this, that this was unfair for Democrats, that they were telling students where and how to vote. Tom's right that there is a war on higher education by Republicans, mega Republicans, because they don't want young people to vote.
Yeah, they sure do come around in colleges and ask if you're registered and let you know how and where to vote. They never tell you who to vote.
That's a great point, Mr. Zomers, as someone who is of the age who's been in college recently.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely, so Tom is absolutely right. I couldn't agree with that more. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. David and Mequon, I'm sorry we had you on the line. You cut off there, but if you're still listening, call back. We will make sure we get you on here after the next break, which is coming up soon. But Tom is right. And by the way, we're going to try to get to this later in the show. If not, we'll do it on Monday. More reporting in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, by the way. Compensation for Wisconsin teachers dropped 19% since 2010, according to reports. Guess what happened just after 2010 with the election of Scotty Walker? Act 10. Teacher salaries now down nearly 20% since Act 10. And in more reporting, According to the Associated Press and the Wisconsin State Journal, 40% of school teachers in Wisconsin are now leaving the profession after 6 years. 40%. Why? Because there is an attack on public education by the mega Republicans. Back with more after this. 855-752-4842. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday, TGIF, on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a rich man's world.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up at hour 2, we have Peter Rapine, managing editor of EBOM's World, with our bi-weekly look at the week in review, the lighter side of what's going on in the news. But starting off this hour, we appreciate Kelly Meyerhofer, higher education reporter here earlier, talking about this story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today, that the UW system paid the firm Deloitte $2.8 million of taxpayer money to tell them that they have a money problem. I mean, the irony there. Meanwhile, giving themselves, the chancellors and Rothman, major raises. You know, geez, we're losing money. Good job. Good job. I think you need a raise. I don't know what... I've had a lot of different jobs. I've never had a situation where I had a poor performance and my boss said, you know what? You've had a really bad year, but you know what? We're going to give you a $20,000 raise.
Well, here's the deal. It's not a poor performance. It's exactly the desired performance.
Well, touche. Touche, Mr. Sommers. You could be absolutely, it could be absolutely right about that. By cutting these universities, cutting these 2 years. And now, according to this report, saying that in particular, Oshkosh and Platteville are in dire, it's the quote here, quote, without significant and immediate change, the future of the institution is at risk in Oshkosh and Platteville. They looked at Oshkosh, Green Bay, Parkside, Platteville, River Falls, Superior, and Whitewater. The remaining universities will be in a report released later this year. And don't forget, coming up on Tuesday, April 23rd, State Senator Kelda Royce and Representative Katrina Shankland will be in Muscatine, Wisconsin. It's just below Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin. They will be at the Village Hall starting at 6 p.m. for a public hearing on this issue, on higher education funding. We will be there. Encourage each one of you to be there as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Gene in Eau Claire. We were just up at beautiful UW Eau Claire talking to your great chancellor up there, Jim Schmidt. Gene, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Great guy. Graduated my undergraduate there in Eau Claire.
and then I went to Stout for my master's plus 30. And so, yeah, we have great universities. And, you know, that money going to those people, those $2 million which could have went into the schools, you know, pay to play.
Right.
Pay to play. Yeah. And people need to wake up because, you know what, they're feeding fantasies on that other radio station, right-wing radio. Mm. They've been doing it for a long time, going after teachers, saying they, oh, you know, they had so much time off. And you know what? They don't get paid when they don't work anyway. But, I mean, these lies have been perpetrating the public for many years. I've been listening and just frustrated at the lying and the way that they're going after teachers, you know, going after teachers, going after school boards, going after, you know, the reason for even having an education, the idiots. I mean, they're so idiotic, and people need to break off this fantasy and stop listening to this delusion they're spreading out there, because you need educated people.
Yeah.
You need doctors. You need nurses. You need teachers. And, you know, this BS about indoctrinating children is far from the truth with people who have a background that are independent or somewhat democratic, but the people that are indoctrinating kids are the Republicans. Because I worked as a school psychologist, there is no way in God's green earth that kids are being indoctrinated. That is a fallacy, and people will believe it. I got a bridge to sell you. So I just need to get so hot under the collar, but God, they've been getting away with this for too goddamn long. People wake up. What they're selling you is BS. So thank you very much, and you have a good day. Thank you. Bye.
Jean, always a great call. Appreciate your passion, your enthusiasm. Jean in Eau Claire, she knows it. She's been involved in education. Off the text line as well, one of our listeners saying, and also don't forget, what about raising tuition, right? That was announced last, you know, one of the decisions. In addition to giving the chancellors and the assistant president raises, they also decided to raise tuition on students. Meanwhile, the state's sitting on somewhere around $4 billion in state surplus. But as I said before, I'm not just throw more money at it kind of person, right? Certainly, I think that our universities, our public K-12 schools are underfunded, but it's not just a money problem. That's part of it. But it's also taking a look, having a real discussion, doing what Senator Kelda Royce and Representative Katrina Shanklin are doing on Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. in Muscogee, going out and having real discussions and listening to people. And what seems to be missing here to me is that for the better part of 50 years, up until the last 10 or so, there has been an agreement in the state, by and large, on a bipartisan basis, of the agreement of the Wisconsin idea, which is the borders of our university are the borders of our state. And certainly depending upon which party has been in control, the legislature, the governor's office, that is, there's been slight differences, disagreements. Up until Scott Walker era, no one was ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And what appears now is, and we had Kathy Sandeen, the last chancellor of the 2 years and extension on this program over a year and a half ago. And she wrote, as we said, this report on the 2 years that acknowledged, hey, you know what? There's something called the internet. There's online learning that our culture has changed perhaps somewhat, that the way people learn may have changed. We have to identify that. And she did in this report. But it still held the tenets of the Wisconsin idea. And now it appears what we have in Wisconsin, instead of saying, let's maintain the Wisconsin idea that has served us for going on 100 years, I mean, at UW-Madison, 175, instead of hanging on to that and adapting that, now it appears that all people in the state capitol and on the 17th floor of Van Nuys at UW System are worried about is the bottom line of money. And to Tom's point in Florida, I think on a partisan level at the capitol, the Republicans are also just flat out attacking higher ed. So all I'm saying is let's have people that actually still believe in the Wisconsin idea. Come back with hour two on the other side. Going to talk a little bit about public
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Monday, I'm joined by movie producer Bob Brown and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Chris Foran. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Todd and his regular guest, Trigvi Olson, were out and about with a simple theme. What makes Wisconsin great? For all the divisive topics and politics that we have on his show and on my show, we're doing that because we love living here. And we want to talk about the things that make Wisconsin great. And we did that over cheese curds and cold beer last night. Ooh. And I really appreciate Todd doing that.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Australian stabbing attack. I'm Mark Remillard. Multiple people